The Breakfast Club on WCSY FM South Haven is paid for by Enterprises LLC.
Welcome to The Breakfast Club on Super Hits 103.7 Cozy FM, highlighting what's good every Friday morning as experts, organizations, and event planners focus on the positive and relevant ways to experience hope. Teresa Getman, Rosalie Placati, and Paul Leyendecker are your hosts on Cozy and the podcast at WCSY.com. The Breakfast Club is sponsored by
Whiteford Wealth Management in South Haven. Let them help you build wealth at WhiteFordWealth.com. The South Haven, Bangor, and St. Joseph Banking Centers of Sturgis Bank. And Vassar Chiropractic and Rehabilitation for a different chiropractic experience. VassarChiropractic.com.
Now, today's Breakfast Club on Cozy.
I'm Paul Leyendecker with Teresa R. Getman and Rosalie Placati. Today, we continue our celebration of Southwest Michigan. Learn all about jerseys, dukes, blue crops, and I think Mike said 32 other varieties of blueberry goodness on the farm from the Grand Champ Blueberry Farm. So who could our guest be?
Well, I would guess it could be a DeGrand Champ. And I think I'm right. It is Mr. Mike DeGrandchamp, president and partner of DeGrandchamp's Farms. It is blueberry season. That's why we needed to have you on. So welcome, Mike.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, it is blueberry season and it's right on schedule. So
that's good. And I'm glad I even got you for a few minutes. I know that as the season progresses, and when I was working Blueberry Festival, it's pretty hard to get you because you're pretty much working around the clock. But let's just kind of start at the beginning. I mean, this is a family endeavor, and it has been for a while.
Yes. My folks bought the original farm, about 12 acres here on Blue Star. And 14th is about 12 acres, 1958. So this is our 64th year. We've got the third generation currently involved, and they're taking over a lot of the management and giving us old guys a little bit of extra time off. We started with 12 acres. I think we're operating about 250 acres now, most of them in South Haven Township, some in Geneva Township, but all fairly close in the area here.
Well, you know, I didn't really appreciate farming as much as I did when I did work Blueberry Festival. I got to learn and get to know all the you and others, and it's hard work, and it's weather, and it's production, and it's people that can work. I mean, you have a lot on your plate besides just those beautiful blueberries.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. As soon as we're done picking, people want to know, what do I do? I said, well, we start getting ready for next year already. We start pruning, you get the fields prepped, you get new plantings in. Year round you're doing stuff, and hopefully Mother Nature will cooperate. I mean, we got everything tiled. When we get too much water, we've got everything irrigated. When we don't get enough rain, so you do what you can do. And then you just, hope Mother Nature will cooperate and not give us all kinds of freezes in May and all of that. So this year, this year has been a pretty good season.
Cranberries too.
Well, yeah. And that's
in the fall.
That starts in October, and that's a whole nother interview, right?
Right.
We'll do that. We'll do that later. Yeah. So we'll do that in a holiday special.
I heard a rumor that your blueberries were featured in a salad at the lodge. And I saw it, and it looked amazing.
Yeah, that's true. That's my daughter, her and her business partner, Meredith, bought the old Curve Inn. And so we got the Grand Champ's blueberry salad there. We have Martha's blueberry jam drink. It works out pretty good. So
I got to tell you,
it's a quick delivery down there to her. So
I got
to
tell you, I was in the fifth grade when we moved to the United States, fourth, and I got my first summer job. They flew me in to work on my grandfather's blueberry farm. And your dad came over to my grandfather's farm, Mr. Barber. And when he left, he was asking about the window boxes, when they used to, my grandfather used to grow them on the ground in window boxes.
Right.
On the ground. So, and then you guys had advanced to like the big greenhouses, and my grandfather was still in the window boxes, but one bad winter, they survived like in the window boxes, but nowhere else. And when he, your dad left, I go, gosh, grandpa, how come you didn't pick a better name? They got the Grand Champs. I mean, that's like, he goes, that's their name. I said, then you pick Barbour. You know, so I thought that was the coolest thing. I thought you and Brian the best couldn't have had better names. I mean, good grief, the Grand Champs.
That's, I agree. I never thought of it that way, but you're right. And certainly you're very visible there on Blue Star Highway, and you've started your U-Pick, right?
Yeah, we opened up, I think, around the 1st of July. That's usually around somewhere around the 4th we open up, and then we continue right on through August. Some years we end up a little sooner than that. But yeah, we try to keep, we got a lot of varieties there on the main farm. So we're moving from one variety to another, moving across the road one day. And we always want to give the people the best fruit we have at the time. So we'll move around and the people enjoy coming out and picking. So
different varietals come about and ripen at different times. What's your favorite? What are your favorites, and what are your customers' favorites?
I always tell everybody my favorite is the variety we're picking today. I've always said you put 10 varieties out and 10 people, you'll get 10 answers what their favorite.
Right.
So they're all, you know, everyone tastes a little different. They have a little different appearance and they ripen at different times. And by the season or the weather climate, they can be different from one year to another. You got a lot of rain, they kind of bland out, I think, you know, they get full of water. Mm-hmm. But they're all good. They're just all a little different.
Well, I know that's one of our guests, our visitors like to do is you pick. I can't think of a more awful thing to do other than and actually have to work for my blueberries, because I could go to your store and buy blueberries. So let's talk about that for lazy people like me.
So we have always had a big market, already picked berries. And so we always have a lot of fives and tens and 2-pounders there. And so people can certainly pick up. But it's a good family tradition. We've had, mm-hmm. I think sometimes maybe up to third generations now coming to pick. They pick when they were, and they're bringing their grandkids to pick blueberries. So it's a great family outing. And so we cater to the public to do that. And they have always have a good time. So.
Well, my grandkids love it. And they just did strawberries when strawberries were in season. And I think for urban kids, my kids are urban. They live in a city. So to come out, first of all, to Michigan, which was gorgeous, and then to go to your farm, it's a wonderful thing for children, I think, to actually see it and understand farming a little bit. But again, what I learned, it's not an easy business, is it? I mean, agriculture is tough.
Well, yeah, you're dealing, you know, you're certainly dealing with Mother Nature on a lot of things, and you try to accomplish enough stuff to prevent disasters what you can. And then, you know, on the wholesale end, you know, and yeah, you know, we do a fair amount of retail and U-Pick, but, you know, still the vast majority of ours goes to Michigan Blueberry Growers Cooperative under the NatureRight label. Well, that, mm-hmm. you know, that wholesale pricing is a supply and demand. It doesn't reflect your cost of production. It's what the supply is at the time. So, excuse me. So that's difficult sometimes, you know. We'll see what we're going to do this year, what pricing they're going to do. If we can, you know, we're up 30% on fertilizers and, you know, just everything is up, 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 and freight and everything. So if we can recoup some of that, you know, that's always a big if.
I know. Well, and again, I think that, you know, we're the self-proclaimed blueberry capital of the world or something. But, you know, with the festival coming up, and it certainly highlights your crops and other growers' crops. Where was I going to go with this? It's a very healthy fruit, too. I mean, you've got the added benefit of all our nutritionists talking about blueberries.
We're fortunate. I can remember going to some, you know, national meetings. This was, you know, decades ago, where they're starting, you know, everybody always knew blueberries were good for you, but they actually we were probably the first crop that really figured out what it was and the different things. And we've spent over the years as an industry a lot of money on and health benefits. And that's really hit the media and the public, and, you know, they're a heck of a lot better for you. They taste a lot better in pancakes than broccoli, I'll tell you that. So,
hey, you guys have given me some good recipes. I don't know if I got it off a website or if it was a little booklet, but there are some go-tos that I use. It's like, I think it's Martha's. It was just three ingredients, like blueberries, I want to say sour cream and
brown sugar.
And brown sugar. Yes.
That was my grandmother's, you know,
my favorite
thing. So it's something as simple as that, man. So there's a lot of recipes, and I think we have recipe books, and I think they keep posting them on our websites and Facebook. And so there's a lot, they're very versatile, fruit. You know,
well, it is my favorite fruit. And I'm not saying that because you're here today, but it is my favorite fruit. And you have a market. I mean, not only do you sell the fresh blueberries when they're in season, but you also do frozen and you do some other delicious things.
Yeah, we have lots of preserves and jams that we have custom made for us. We have fudge, baked goods, all kinds of real interesting things in there that people come in and shop and that.
How many people work for you? How many people does it take for a season?
Well, we probably right now, depending on our hand picking crew, we can be up to 125 to 150 employees seasonally wise. And the rest of the year, probably around 20 to 25.
Okay. Well, now if there's somebody that's listening that has their head in the sand, and doesn't know where you are or doesn't know how to find you, how can they do that?
Well, we're just south of 140 on Blue Star Highway, only 3 miles from downtown. And so we're certainly easy to find. We have a website, thegrandchamps.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and whatever, you know, social media things that are out there. We're all there. My nieces take care of that stuff. They don't let me touch that. So
that's a good reason, probably a good reason why I know. I just start hitting buttons, right?
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, we're easy to find. And, you know, we are on phone 637-3915. That's been the phone number since for 58 years, probably.
Wow. So. Nice. Grandchamps.com. Mm-hmm. That is the best name ever. I'm so jealous.
Well, that's French. That means the big field in French. Mm-hmm. When you translate.
Oh, does really? It? That's better. Oh, I love it. Wow. I just thought you were champions of blueberries.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, thank you, Mike, for coming on, finding some time. I know as the season progresses, that time gets more precious. So we really appreciate you coming on to talk about blueberry season in South Haven.
Thank you much. Appreciate it.
Did you know you can reach out to us with ideas and comments? Email thebreakfastclub at WCSY.com. Altogether, no spaces, thebreakfastclub at WCSY.com. We'll be right back.
The South Haven Bangor and St. Joseph Banking Centers, a division of Sturgis Bank, believes in community. That's why they're proud to sponsor the new Breakfast Club, Friday mornings at 8:30 on Cozy FM. At the South Haven Bangor St. Joseph Banking Centers, it's people that make the difference. People that can help you build or expand your business. Stop at any of their branch locations in South Haven, Bangor, St. Joseph, or visit sturgisbank.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Vassar Chiropractic and Rehabilitation, downtown South Haven, works to get you out of pain, back to doing the things you love, and avoid invasive procedures. Dr. Vassar believes that working together with you to achieve your goals is one of the most fulfilling experiences. For a different chiropractic experience, learn more and make an appointment at VassarChiropractic.com. Proud sponsors of The Breakfast Club on Cozy FM. Vassar Chiropractic and Rehabilitation, 330 Kalamazoo, downtown South Haven.
This is The Breakfast Club on Super Hits 103.7 Cozy FM, highlighting what's good. The Breakfast Club on Cozy is sponsored by
Whiteford Wealth Management in South Haven. Let them help you build wealth at whitefordwealth.com. The South Haven, Bangor, and St. Joseph Banking Centers of Sturgis Bank. And Vassar Chiropractic and Rehabilitation. For a different chiropractic experience, VassarChiropractic.com.
And now back to The Breakfast Club on Cozy.
Thanks for listening to Cozy every Friday morning, 8:30, streaming at podcast at WCSY.com. Just click where you see shows and The Breakfast Club. I'm Paul Andecker with Rosalie Placati and Teresa R. Getman, all set for part two of today's Breakfast Club. I think you'll like this.
Yes, thank you, Paul. Another great name, Rob Bird.
Moondog Production.
Moondog Production.
Yes. I'm a big supporter.
I've never heard someone say great name before.
Hey, we just had one great name in the first segment, and yours is a great name too.
Yeah.
Writer, producer, editor, narrator for the House of David documentary, Rob Bird. I know nothing about this, so I'm counting on you.
Well, I hope not too much. No, what would you like to know?
Everything. I mean, how long did this take? And were you an expert? Has this been in your, like, on your bucket list? How did this happen?
Well, I guess I'll start with anytime there's a documentary film or something to that effect, it's part of a bucket list. I kind of don't discriminate on subjects, to tell you the truth. If someone wants to make something, a documentary, and make something beautiful, I'm usually more than happy to do so. About a year and a half ago, when I started the Let's Talk Real Estate portion of my radio show, Tina Goodrich, being a realtor, invited Chris Siriano down to talk about real estate, who is a realtor in St. Joe. And we got talking, and he said, well, come see the museum. They're on Main Street, kind of where, I can't remember the name of the road, where it splits to head off towards Benton Harbor as you go through St. Joe. He said, come on and check out the museum. And as I'm walking around, I check the museum, and I come and say, you know, I'm a filmmaker, don't you? And he goes, no, I had no idea. So we started talking then, and that's kind of where it all started from. So from that time to right now, it's been about a year and a half.
Wow. And you've done a lot of work on it. You've interviewed a lot of people. So
we didn't interview quite as many as I would have liked to. I mean, I'll say that we did, but we had five interviews in it that were really the main people. Chris Siriano, who is a historian and he's a wealth of knowledge. Claire Adkin, who wrote a book, Brother Benjamin. I can't remember the second title of that, but he's also a native to the area. We went to Raleigh, North Carolina to interview him. And then a guy by the name of Phil S. Dixon, who was a Negro League historian and writer. He's got like 10 books. And we went to Kansas City and interviewed him about the baseball segment part, which is about 35 minutes of the actual film.
So there's a film that's the culmination of all this.
And yeah. Yeah. And I have to say also, Linda Stone was in it, and she is a descendant of a member and related to someone who is, the story goes very deep. It's a really beautiful story. And then it takes a turn, a cult-like turn that had Benjamin Purnell was accused of taking liberties with young women in the community. And there was a trial. It was the biggest trial of the century of that time. And it certainly was impactful on the area. But so it goes into that. We don't really dwell too much on that. The documentary is pretty much their great contributions that they made and kind of how they started, where Benjamin started. And it kind of covers the amusement park, which not many people know. In Benton Harbor, behind the Diamond House, Eden Springs Campground in that area, there's an amusement park that was over those years. And I can't tell you all the years because those numbers just don't work with me. But over the time that it was in operation, over 35 million people visited this amusement park. And, you know, going back to baseball, not many people know about baseball these days, but back in the day in the 20s, if you didn't, and Phil S. Dixon says this in the documentary, he says this in the documentary, he says, if you don't know about the House of David, you can go sit down because you don't know much about baseball. And, you know, and it's really true. They are certainly pioneers in baseball. They're pioneers in lighted games at nights. They are not the inventors of lighted baseball. The Kansas City Monarchs were. But the House of David kind of took that as part of what they were doing and going all over the country. Barnstorming is what they called it, and playing and putting the lights out at night and having night games. But they would play, you know, and I don't want to say the number on it either, because like I said, numbers and all that. But, you know, they would play 3, 4, 5 nights a week. And then on weekends, they'd play double and triple headers. These men played the game.
Now, I could say the only thing I did know about House of David was about baseball.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because, you know, that's all we've heard, but there's a documentary that's how long, and it's like packed with all kinds of information.
Yeah. Yeah. And we also go, and you certainly, most people, and you won't know this at all, but they had an island called High Island, which was up in northern Lake Michigan, where they harvested timbers. Nice. That's part of the story. And then the story of when Benjamin did die, what happened to the House of David, because they split. There was Mary's City of David, which was eventually called that. It was, I can't remember, the Mary's Israelite, as reorganized by Mary Purnell, which later turned to Mary's City of David. And then there was still the old House of David. And it was like the Hatfields and McCoys. They were not friends after that split. And so it's, I really can't go into it. I mean, we could talk about it all day, but they had a judge who was a Supreme Court judge by the name of Judge Harry Dewhurst that came in, and he's the one who defended Ben on all the rape charges and all that stuff. And he was eventually acquitted on those, but he was found guilty on a charge almost have to see the documentary, but it was of being a false prophet type of thing and living like a king. But they found him guilty of that, and he went home waiting sentencing, and he died. So then that's kind of where that turn came. But they had a guy by the name of, this really kind of strikes home to me, by the name of Harry Kirkham, who was a photographer. And when he came in, his job was turned devoted into documenting what they did. And as Chris says it, he goes, I have over 10,000 images. And I've actually been in the archives at Shiloh at the House of David. And believe me, they've got a lot more in there and stuff that nobody has ever seen. It's quite incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's all he did with his life was take pictures. And if you see the documentary, that part of it, it really shows. And that's what he did. He documented life. And it wasn't just the members of the House of David's life he documented, which he did that, but he documented people in the park and them coming to, you know, the games and all the people at the games. He was incredible.
I bet those photos are amazing. I mean, what a time capsule of you know, the era. Now, Rob, you've got a show on Cozy. You have Moondog Productions. Tell us a little bit about what you do besides making documentaries.
As far as video production goes, I'll make any video anybody wants to make. It takes, you know, a little bit of cheddar, and we can probably work something out. But that's been my life since college. I went to school for it, and that's just what I've been doing since then. But they got the documentary love when I worked for PBS or WGVU in Grand Rapids from 2000 to 2007. And I did a documentary on Gerald Ford, which was a big hit. And they still actually air that, and it's in the National Archives and all that stuff too, because it's really the only documentary that's been done about Gerald Ford. You know, so that, and I have the radio show, which is from 6:30 to 8:30 every morning, every morning, I wish. Saturday, no, actually, I don't. That's just way too much work.
I'll retire someday,
Paul,
Rob.
Paul, I don't want your job. I really don't. You work way too hard.
Yeah, he does.
Yes. I really actually, you know, sometimes with having just the once a week, it's a detriment, because we kind of have to structure it in a way that we can't talk about things real currently. But at the same time, it's really nice that once a week I can come down, even if I don't even want to plan it, I can say, I make a couple phone calls. I've got the first half hour's Blueberries with Shelley Hartman, and the last half hour with Tina Goodrich, which is real estate. So the middle is kind of, well, we just do whatever comes along and try to have fun doing it.
Well, that's kind of how this breakfast show was in the day, right? At Golden Brown, it was talking about what's going on.
Yeah.
Now I want to go back to something you said. Did you just say a little bit of cheddar? Does that mean money?
A little bit of money, yes. Okay. I don't do this for free.
I could have interpreted for you. Sorry.
Yes,
well, I knew exactly what he meant.
I did figure it out, but I a little bit of cheddar.
I do work for food, and I have worked for food before, so I can't say that I won't work for actual real cheddar.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Let's spend some time talking about how people can find out more about your documentary, but also how people can find out about your radio show and how to get on that. So why don't you spend the last bit of our segment on that?
Sure. The radio show, if you want to really contact us and send an email to me, it's probably the best way is go to moondogshow.com. It's got the last five episodes there that you can listen to and some pictures of the crew and all that stuff. I try to keep it updated, but it always can use a little work for that for sure. If you want to know anything about the documentary where you can see a schedule and all that good stuff, you can go to hodfilm.com. It's hodfilm.com, which is House of David, hodfilm.com. I try to keep it simple as much as I could and as few letters.
And you've had some real success with people coming to see it. I know
you pulled out
at Coloma.
We had a great world premiere at the Mendel Center at the Hanson Theater at LMC last week on Friday, a week from today. And then we had a... the Loma was playing it. And then on Wednesday, the Michigan Theater had it. And I think tomorrow, I think the Wonderland Theater in Niles has it. But it's going to – in Coloma, it sold out in like the first 10, 15 minutes. And there was 100 people standing in line wanting to get in.
Wow.
So there's certainly some interest.
Well, that's fantastic. Cool.
And we would be remiss. I mean, you talked about Tina – wonderful realtor here in town, and Shelly Hartman, but you can't mention blueberries and not say True Blue Farms.
True Blue Farms and their big blueberries.
The tune is you gotta say True Blue Farms.
That's right.
We've been having a good time for sure. And, you know, as far as the radio show goes, it's just fun to get together once a week, sit down and talk. And when I started doing it, I was like, I'm probably an idiot for doing this. And I'm kind of a glutton for punishment, but it was kind of, you know, especially through COVID and stuff with not being able to see and do something, not being able to work nearly as much every week. I had something that I accomplished and got something done. So, you know, in some way or another, you can almost say maybe it saved my life.
Well, and we're proteges of you. So that was fun working with you.
And your studio's at the Vanguard Senior Center, right?
Yeah, put in a new studio there, which I have the edit suite there where I put together any kind of film and video and then record. And I also have a new recording studio, which I'm just kind of getting up running for music over at the old Canone building.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Moving and shaking right here.
Good for you, man.
Well, it took me long enough. I'm 51 years old, and finally things are coming around. So I feel pretty good about it. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you, Rob, and good luck on this documentary. I know I plan on seeing it. I can hardly wait.
Me too.
So thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, absolutely. Anytime.
We love it when you reach out to us with ideas and comments. TheBreakfastClub at WCSY.com. One long word, no spaces. TheBreakfastClub at WCSY.com. Podcasts of the shows there as well. And for more inspiration from Teresa R. Getman, visit EnterprisesLLC.com. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Breakfast Club, highlighting what's good every Friday morning at 8:30 as experts, organizations, and event planners focus on the positive and relevant ways to experience hope. The Breakfast Club on Cozy is sponsored by
Whiteford Wealth Management in South Haven. Let them help you build wealth at WhitefordWealth.com. The South Haven, Bangor, and St. Joseph Banking Centers of Sturgis Bank and Vassar Chiropractic and Rehabilitation for a different chiropractic experience. VassarChiropractic.com.
Join us again next Friday at 8:30 for The Breakfast Club on Super Hits 103.7 Cozy FM. Find a podcast of today's show at WCSY.com.
The South Haven, Bangor, and St. Joseph Banking Centers, a division of Sturgis Bank, believes in community. That's why they're proud to sponsor the new Breakfast Club, Friday mornings at 8:30 on Cozy FM. At the South Haven, Bangor, St. Joseph Banking Centers, it's people that make the difference. People that can help you build or expand your business.
Stop at any of their branch locations in South Haven, Bangor, or St. Joseph, or visit sturgisbank.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
At Whiteford Wealth Management, they have the pleasure of serving clients in nearly half of the country from their beloved South Haven. Rest assured, with Whiteford Wealth Management, you will always get simple, candid advice based on the wealth of knowledge and experience in tax, legal, and investments. Clients trust Whiteford Wealth Management with their life savings, and they earn that trust by recommending products that they use themselves. Whiteford Wealth Management. Let them help you build wealth. WhitefordWealth.com. Proud sponsors of The Breakfast Club on Cozy.
The Breakfast Club on WCSY-FM South Haven is paid for by Enterprises, LLC.